everyone. Rob here from the Snapcast, yet again, joined by Tyler.
Oh, how's it going?
And today we're going to be talking about Amulet Titan. Amulet Titan, Summer Bloom, whatever you remember this deck by, it is a beast of a combo deck. The big mana casting multiple Primeval Titans in one turn and killing your opponent on what, as early as what, turn three, turn four?
In the current meta, this is probably a turn three. There are ways to turn two, but it is very, like, in-depth, knowing the deck kind of thing.
Yeah, and back in the day when we could have Summer Bloom, it was, I would say, easily a turn two deck.
Very easy turn two, very possible turn one.
Which is just nuts to think of casting three or maybe even four Primeval Titans, six drop beasts of creatures, and giving them all haste and swinging.
Yep.
That's what we're doing with this deck. So Amulet Titan or Prime Time, whatever you want to call this deck, it gets its name from its marquee card, Amulet of Vigor. Okay, Amulet of Vigor, it's a one-drop artifact that whenever a permanent enters the battlefield tapped under your control, untap it. And this is great. And what is it really we're abusing with this?
So we're abusing the bounce lands that came out. I forget the sets. They've come out so many times now. But it looks like...
Original Ravnica.
Original Ravnica is where five of them came out, and then the other five came out in another set. You're abusing them because you play them, they untap the Amulet of Vigor, and then it triggers the bounce. And you're basically, whenever Primeval enters the battlefield or attacks, you are putting lands in the battlefield tapped. It looks like they all came out in Ravnica.
Dissension, maybe? Yeah, I'm sorry, we're looking through it right now. Keep going.
But you're abusing that whenever he enters the battlefield. It is Dissension. Okay. So you're playing Primeval Titan. It untaps. You bounce a land. You're playing Azusa. You're playing Dryad of the Elysian Grove. You're playing a Boreal Grazer. You got Scout.
Sakura Tribe Scout.
Yeah, Sakura Tribe Scout. Things that just let you play like other lands faster. Amulet Vigor also triggers twice. So if you have two amulets out, it will untap twice, and then you will have to bounce if you're playing a bounce land in its place.
Yes, and that's probably one of the hardest interactions to remember, is that when your land enters the battlefield tapped, you have two triggers that go on the stack. Amulet of Vigor, and then your Karu land or your bounce land trigger of return a land you control to its owner's hand. The way we're able to get this off, say, as early as turn two, as early as turn three, with Azusa Lost But Seeking, you can play two additional lands on each of your turns, and with that you have three land drops now on your turn just from Azusa, three total, your first one and then your two additional. You play your bounce land, you untap it with Amulet of Vigor, tap it for mana, and then bounce it to your hand, and then you get to repeat that process. Generate your six mana, cast Primeval Titan, get two more lands. Depending on what's in your hand, you can Summoner's Pact for another Titan, and you can start just chaining these off.
So in order to actually play multiple Titans, you're going to need two amulets, but yeah, you can definitely chain some Titans together.
And then we can get a kill on that turn that we play all these Titans, right? Or yeah. We can at least attack. How is that?
So whenever, let's say you're on the turn three plan, you've played Azusa, you've got your Titan out. First off, you're going to go get some Boros Garrison and some Slayer Stronghold. Other lists are also playing Hand War Battlements, and you're just going to get a red land at that point, and you're just attack. Hand War Battlements is a one in a red, tap it, give haste, but my personal favorite is Slayer Stronghold. It is a red and a white, tap, give +2/+0, vigilance and haste, and you're going to get Boros Garrison, which is the red and white bounce land, Karu land, and whenever you bounce, you're going to want to bounce Slayer Stronghold, and then you're going to attack with a Titan. Depending on how many amulets you have, or like what the current board state is, what you're playing against, will kind of decide what you're getting after that. But in most cases, if you're not trying to kill on turn three, you're just going to get like value lands. So Field of the Dead, Valakut, Simic Growth Chamber, Talaria West, like Bujuka Bog, like things that are relevant for the current matchup.
Absolutely. And The Field of the Dead, the Valakut, these are new or newish adds, and that is because Dryad of the Elysian Grove was printed back in Theros Reborn, which also states lands you control are every basic land type in addition to their other types. So this allows you to turn on your Valakut, the Molten Pinnacle, and start bolting your opponents with Valakut. And we're going to talk Valakut decks in another separate 12 Modern Combos at Christmas, because there's a lot of different variants with Scape Shift and Valakut. It's a newer add in this deck because of Dryad of the Elysian Grove. And of course, Dryad does allow you to just play additional lands, which we as Titan players really enjoy doing.
We do enjoy our lands.
Field of the Dead, then, is a Core 20 land that came out. Saw quite a few bannings. And the reason for that is you generate zombies with this card. So whenever Field of the Dead or another land enters the battlefield under your control, if you control seven or more lands with different names, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. And this deck runs about 20 different land types, if not more.
So it depends on the variant of the deck, but yes.
It's got like one of fetches, one of other lands. The only lands that you're really running multiple copies of are green sources. So that being Celestia Sanctuary, Simic Crow Chamber, both Karu lands, Snow-Covered Forests, Talaria West. That helps you search up for summoner's packs so you can continue to chain off your Titans. And two Castle Garenbrig, which also came out in Throne of Eldraine. And this allows you to generate 6 green mana for 4 green mana and tapping Castle Garenbrig, which allows you to drop that Titan again sooner. And that's the biggest thing, is we want to play a Titan on turn 3, right?
Turn 3, turn 4, but as early, the earlier the better.
Absolutely. And there are some other win cons that you can put in this deck other than the Titan. Tyler, you have a very special win con for this deck.
I do, and I've played it in every form of the deck since Summer Bloom, and that is Hive Mind. And for those who don't know what Hive Mind does, it says whenever a player casts an instant or sorcery, each other player copies it. This deck plays packs. So the packs say that there's 0 mana cost. At the beginning of your upkeep, you have to pay X amount of mana or you lose the game. So Summoner's Pact is the one that sees the most play now. And you search your library for a green creature card, you put it into your hand. With Hive Mind, your opponent does it too. If they're not playing green, on their upkeep, they're dead. So
yep, because they have to pay 2/2 green or they lose the game. So you're going to cast your Hive Mind, cast probably one pack or even multiple packs, because now they have to pay 8 mana or 12 mana.
Or you could do what I did to, I can't think of his name, but in a GP in Atlanta, it was like round 3. He had exactly 11 mana and I had all 4 of my packs.
Oh, and wow.
That's my bad.
Oh, no, you're good.
But I had all 4 packs, and he couldn't pay for all of them, and it ended up costing him the game. It was game 3. He did not know Hive Mind was a card.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about cards like that is, now Hive Mind saw a lot of play back in the Summer Bloom days. That was the alternate win con for the deck. I keep saying back in the Summer Bloom days, and Summer Bloom is a banned card now in Modern. It was banned a few years ago.
Sadly.
Right. Probably, you know, for the better. But Summer Bloom is a 2-drop sorcery, 1 and a green, that lets you play up to 3 additional lands this turn. So what you could do is on turn 2, you could play your Azusa, because you can turn 1, Amulet. Turn 2, play your bounce land, untap it, and then tap it to make mana, bounce your bounce land back to your hand, play Azusa. You get 2 additional land drops now this turn. Play a bounce land, do the untap, tap it, add 1 and a green, and then you get to cast Summer Bloom. You have 4 more land drops this turn already. Have fun.
Yep. Or you could do the mythical. The decks back then played Simeon Spirit Guide.
Yep.
So they could actually turn 1 with Summer Bloom. You would exile Simeon Spirit Guide to play the Amulet, play the Bounce Land, the Summer Bloom, and Titan or Hivevine, and normally just win the game there.
There was, at one of the Star City Invitationals, I want to say a player cast 3 Titans in one turn. It was like turn 2 or turn 3.
Yep.
And it was a Titan mirror match too, and that was really when we saw the writing on the wall of a banning is going to happen out of this deck. It's just a matter of which card is going to get hit.
Yep, and it sadly, I mean, I say sadly, it was Summer Bloom, and I think it was the right call. As someone, I started playing the deck back in 2015, whenever I started playing Magic. A friend of mine wanted to get into Modern. I couldn't really find a deck I liked. He calls me one night, and he's just like, hey man, I know you're not really looking for a deck, but I think this is the deck for you. And we're going to rate it later, but this is probably the most complex deck that I want to say we've even covered in the entire thing, as far as like lines and where to go with the with the deck, like how to win on turn one, turn two. Like, I think this might be the most complex deck.
Absolutely. Until we get to the banned special, and I would say talk about KCI combo, this is the hardest deck on this list that you can get into. Now, Storm's pretty difficult, but I don't think it is as challenging. And watching someone who is a very good pilot of this deck play, it's almost like a work of art. Like, you would think you have a line, and you're thinking and you're standing behind them over their shoulder looking at their hand, and they start going a completely different route, and you're like, what are they doing? Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. And I've had that moment with you a couple of times where I thought I knew the line, and they just go a completely different route. It's like, oh, this is going to work.
I can think of a couple in the team event up in Cincinnati with me and Nuna Davis.
Yep.
So.
Oh, that was fun. Hey, let's register 58 cards. Anyways, we're not going to talk about that right now. Some decks, too, have gone into a Karn Great Creator package. This was really good whenever Micah Synthlattice was also legal. It has since been banned because Micah Synthlattice turns out just turns off magic in general for your opponent, and you get to hang back and win. But there's still a Karn package out there, and the Karn package, you're not the biggest of fans of anymore, are you?
No, I think the Karn, like, the cards you're playing for Karn package, I mean, it's EE, it's Wogging Ballista, and you got Wurmcoil Engine, and I guess it's Liquid Metal Coating, right?
Yeah, Liquid Metal Coating.
Cage and Pithing Needle.
Yeah.
But, like, those are just cards that you could just sideboard in. Like, you can main deck EE, you can main deck Wogging Ballista. Wogging Ballista is even hit by Teleri West, along with EE, so those cards are even just better in the main. And that frees up three slots in your main deck. You can also, like, this list is playing three Ancient Stirrings. I don't know how relevant that is anymore. I'm not a fan of Explore, but I haven't been playing Modern lately, so I don't know exactly how that is right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, the Ancient Stirrings, I would say, definitely help you with trying to find that Amulet of Vigor. That was always a big thing. Or finding a land, because it's a colorless card. One thing, too, the beginners coming into Magic the Gathering or Modern, and you're looking for a colorless card, land cards are indeed colorless. So you may choose those, you may choose artifacts, or you can choose your Devoid cards, which came out in the, what was that?
Battle for Zendikar.
Battle for Zendikar set. Yeah, thank
Luckily,
you.
Luckily, we don't play any of those.
No, thankfully we don't. But, yeah, then the biggest thing when it comes to your sideboard, what you want to be looking for are cards that allow you to just play your multiple land drops or possibly cast multiple spells. Watch out for cards such as, say, Damping Sphere, which turns off your bounce lands from making the multiple mana instead it's one colorless. That's a pretty big hoser for you guys.
It is, and that's why in the sideboard you're seeing there's some number of Force of Vigor. You got Reclamation Sage. There's some other lists that were running Nature's Claim. An older one that was used was Seal of Primordium, because you could just play it and it was there on the board. It didn't matter what your mana turned into via Blood Moon or other cards.
Yep. And Dryad of Elysian, the Grove, again, has just been an outstanding addition for this deck. And you were talking before we started this, you think this deck could actually even go Simic?
Yeah, I think this deck can go Simic. I think there was a Simic version before the whole epidemic that happened. That played Uro, that was just, I think, probably one of the better versions of the deck out there. I don't think it's kind of even close. And it's now that we're looking at it, there is one, and it's playing even the new cards from the newest set, right?
Yeah, Zendikar Rising. And that is Turn Timber Symbiosis. Now, Turn Timber Symbiosis, that's just going to be another like fetch for a creature. For those that don't know, this is one of your dual-faced modal land cards. So on the front side of it, it is a 7-drop sorcery. Look at the top 7 cards of your library. You may put a creature from among them onto the battlefield. If that creature has CMC 3 or less, it enters with 3 additional +1/+1 counters. Put the rest on the bottom in any order. So you can use this to search up a Titan. The flip side of it is I would call it a Bolt land instead of a Shock land. You may have it enter the battlefield untapped for 3 life, and you can tap it to generate 1 green mana. An interesting trick you can do with this, with your bounce lands, is if you had to play this as a land, so you bolt yourself, say you had to play like a, you know, your Amulet that turn. 2 turns later, though, with a bounce land, you can return that land to your hand. When it comes back to your hand, it doesn't return to your hand as that green land. No, it goes back to its front face of Turn Timber Symbiosis, and then you can cast it to find your Titan and play your Titan.
Yeah, this card's actually really good. I'm shocked there's not more lists playing it, but I guess it's because it's 7 mana. That might be the trick. I think that even the list that we're looking at right now could even cut the Uro, and it's probably even better. Like, you just add another scout in place of the Uro.
Yep. And then also another fun card that could be ran is also, you know, Primal Command. There's a lot of different cards you can run. I really don't want to go through, like, all of them, because this deck, the shell, while it is very consistent with the crew lands, the Amulet of Vigors, your mana accelerants via creatures and that, there's a few other supporting casts you can bring in and out. It all depends on, I would say, your meta and what you're willing to play with. Between 20 and 30 lands, I think, is the general land count we've been seeing lately.
I think it's closer to between 28 and 31.
Okay.
I think is the normal count for most. I mean, back in the day, before the Summer Bloom land, I think the deck played 32.
Yeah, I want to say it was something like that. Yeah, it's a significant amount of lands.
And a lot of that was, like, you played Cavern of Souls, because back, that was when Splinter Twin was a deck. So, I mean, that was 4 years ago now. So we're getting deep.
Yeah, we are. And you really needed to protect that, so make your Titan uncounterable. So we've talked about how difficult it is. Mulligans, what are you looking for in an opening hand on this one?
You want to have something that accelerates your mana. You can't keep a hand that is only career lands. Sadly, I've definitely done it and gotten paid off for it, but I've also played the deck now for 6 years. So it's just a lot of just knowing your deck and loving to make bad decisions.
And definitely goldfish, goldfish, goldfish this deck.
I think when I first bought this deck, my friend was selling me on it the fact that it was actually like one of the cheapest modern decks you could buy at the time. Now it's not. Now it's not the most expensive, but it's also not the cheapest. But back in the day, it was like $350 for the full 75 that I played. Now I was in college, so I didn't really have the money to, you know, throw at modern. But I literally took the back of Magic cards, wrote the names of the cards and kind of what they did, and that's how I learned the deck. So I'm now like to the point of I know cards based on their art. Like, I don't, the names are kind of irrelevant to me. And I think if I would have learned this deck any other way other than knowing the card names, I would be screwed learning this deck.
Right. Not a fun deck to play Magic Online.
No, this is probably the hardest deck to play because you have to stack the amulet triggers. And if you click, it takes one misclick and your entire turn's over.
Yep. It is still putting up numbers on Magic Online. I'm starting to see, like, a lot more newer names too than like the main group that was playing it. So that's good that people are trying to get out there. They're nailing the 5-0s, they're top 16ing these challenges, even top 8ing. Like this Simic Titan got a second place in a modern challenge, losing to Dredge. Oh, Sodek. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Sodek, the premier Dredge player, ended up winning there. But
not too much of a shocker there.
Nope. All in all though, again, outstanding deck. Definitely worth checking out. It is, like Tyler said, it's not the cheapest, but it's not the most expensive. Depending on the build you're going for, you're looking between $550 and $650. Again, it's not like Jeskai Control. There's barely any fetches in this deck, and if so, they're one-ofs. Your most expensive land is actually Cavern of Souls, coming in at about $60.
Yep, and then it also comes down to the art that you choose, because I think these are the more expensive arts as well. Yeah, because I think there's a cheaper art.
The cheapest is actually Abyssin Restored is the cheapest at $60.
Oh, wow.
You can pay upwards of, for the box topper, $200. But
I mean, shiny is better, right?
Yep. Magic Online, for those that have mana traders or anything, it's less than 350 tickets, so that's a good threshold to be under. And yeah, it is a blast to play, to see all the different lines that you can do, the different win cons you can put in here. Definitely worth checking out. But that's going to do it for us, I believe, on this one. You got anything else to add on Amulet?
If you're going to pick it up for the first time, make sure like you learn the deck before you take it to FNM or any modern event. It is a lot of fun to play, but it is very time intensive and rewards for playing.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things I would say when it comes to modern. And I'll say it again in our last episode, find a deck and master that deck. There's a lot of decks in the modern format that can do very well. Luck does play into it with, you know, what you draw, what are your matchups, all that comes into play. But there's a large number of decks that can perform very, very well as long as you take the time to master that deck and build your sideboard to help increase the win percentage of those matches where you could actually have that edge. But that's going to do it for us. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Stay tuned for the rest of our 12 decks of or 12 modern combos at Christmas, as well as our band special coming up on Christmas Day. We also have a nice little special coming up too. I drove down to Gainesville, Florida, went to Mega Gaming and Comics. If you have not been there or do not know of them, check them out. They are online. They're on Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. They have booster packs going all the way back to 10th edition, as well as all of the master packs. But I went there. I bought 4 booster packs. I've been alluding to them on Instagram. We have 2 packs of Zendikar here, 1 pack Rise of the Eldrazi, and 1 pack of Worldwick. And we're going to be opening all 4 of them on Christmas Day. You're not going to want to miss it. The pulls, the potential out of these packs is absolutely insane. I think this is the absolute best block to buy from for Modern because the number of Modern playable cards in it, as well as the value that exists. The original Eldrazi, the Zendikar fetches, the different rares and mythics you can get out of Worldwick to include Jace the Mind Sculptor, and just, I mean, the commons and uncommons are also outstanding as well. You got the trap cards too in the set. So definitely check that out. You can find us on all the social media outlets, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram, and Facebook. And you can catch our podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Spotify. But that's going to do it for us. Have a fantastic evening.